Woo! Super crosstalk time. Andy Kamenetsky and DeMarco Farr in for Shidano and Cappy today. Where'd you guys come down in the robot dogs with guns?
It seems a little haphazard.
You think so?
Yeah, okay, you're a dog guy.
DeMarco, I am a big dog guy.
Yeah. Okay. How much do you trust your dog with anything that involves your own safety?
What do you mean?
Well, just how much would you trust your dog? Like, your dog's nature, dogs can be, you know, a little bit wild. They can be a little overeager. How much would you trust your dog on average with anything that involved your safety? Because the robot dog is going to have a gun.
But it's programmed. Okay, it's controlled. In other words, like, there's somebody at the police station with a joystick, and he's saying, okay, let's walk
I would trust my dog. I wouldn't trust that dog, that robot
my
dog.
My dog, I mean, I have
my cute, dog's great.
I have cute little dogs cuddle well, but I don't think they'd...
I thought that this would be like a dog that is programmed to be like a dog. It just happens to be carrying a gat. It's not actually like a dog nature.
No, it's like a robot dog that somebody's operating with a joystick back at the police station.
Oh, the police are controlling it?
Yeah, the police are controlling it.
I don't trust this at all.
Not at all. No. Fair. That's scary.
Fair. Yeah.
Fair.
No offense to any police out there listening. Thank you for your service, but no.
That's
terrifying. Any idea for a nickname for Austin Reeves? We have taken... It's a record number of terrible ideas
today. Some of those.
It's just brutal.
All right, I got one.
Okay.
And I debate whether or not I should share it here because this is probably something me and DeMarco are going to get into. And it's like, you know, you don't want to give away the milk for free.
No, give away the milk.
Okay.
I'm so tired of this whole, you're doing crosstalk. We won't say a certain thing because we're going to say it later. No, you talk about it later, too. You talk about it now.
Austin Reeves is a guy that was underestimated.
Yes.
He was not drafted.
Yep.
He is somebody that has had to prove himself his entire NBA career.
Right.
He is somebody that still gets targeted defensively because, let's be honest, he's the goofy-looking white guy.
Yep.
So, Austin Deese. You can finish the rest. As in Deese blank.
I like it.
To everybody that underestimated Austin Reeves, to everybody that still doesn't give him the credit he deserves, Austin Deese.
So here's the thing.
Jorge loves it.
But you're not able to say the whole thing.
When Ireland's doing a game,
he can't say, here comes Austin Deese.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the fun. Yeah. Everybody else listening, they know what it is. You can say it on your own. I just can't say it on an FCC station.
Right.
Austin Deese.
It's not bad. What do you guys think?
It's all right. It's pretty funny for us.
Austin threes.
He's not a good enough 3-point shooter.
He's not a good enough 3-point
What about this one?
See, again, this is the stereotyping. Everybody thinks he's a white
That's
boy.
That's what
so
he said. No,
threes.
I liked it.
This guy, Jay Ojeda, sent some to me on Instagram because now that the show's over, I can look at Instagram again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone said Blanco Mamba.
Blanco Mamba. No.
Tornado Blanco.
If he's uncomfortable with Hillbilly Kobe,
he's not
going to
like Blanco Mamba.
Okay, so Arkansas Assassin and Farm to Table.
Farm to table. I like that one. Farm to table's good.
Farm to table is
doesn't
my
really
favorite.
Roll out.
Farm
the tongue,
to table is actually kind of
it makes no sense.
No, it's nonsense, but
it's amazing.
The best one we thought we had, and it's all up to Austin, is Moonshine.
Okay, that is great. I disagree, though. I don't think it's up to Austin. I think it's up to the people. For the most part.
Do you really?
Yeah, unless you have a legitimate objection. Like, I understand where Austin Reeves is coming from with not wanting to be associated with an AR-15 right now. And I also understand where he may feel like Hillbilly Kobe, given the context of Kobe's death, it's not as much
Plus,
fun.
I don't think he What's necessarily wants to be identified as a hillbilly.
Well, that depends.
That's bad? Okay,
I don't know. I interviewed Billy Bob Thornton, and he talked about the hillbilly thing, and he was proud of it. He's from Arkansas. So I think
Billy Bob Thornton considers himself to be a hillbilly?
Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he said this.
So then Moonshine.
Moonshine.
I think Moonshine's pretty
good.
Moonshine is a slick nickname.
And I think that's good enough that if he doesn't like it, who cares?
Yeah.
You don't get a vote.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, wow. Aren't you AK?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to change your name too? Your nickname? No?
Nobody bothers giving me a nickname. I don't need to worry.
So you weren't at the softball game. You were at the Mandy Awards.
I was at the Mandy Awards.
It has been the last month of this radio station. Has been just a friggin' blast between the Mandy's and the 7-10 All-Star Game. You were at the Mandy's, right?
Yeah, both. Yeah.
I mean, this station is totally kicking ass right now.
Yeah.
And the softball game you missed out on because it would have been it was so much fun.
I really wanted to go.
And your brother couldn't play either.
Brian was out of Brian, I believe, was out of town when it happened, and I was in the middle of a move. It just I would be divorced. I'd be looking for another house.
Yeah.
If I had gone to this game.
So I wanted to ask you guys about.
I never wanted to win so bad in my life. I'm serious. I wanted to win that game bad. I didn't want to lose to those guys.
I did not want to lose
at all. I'm so happy. I'm like so thankful to Beto. I'm serious. Like, he is a teammate for life for doing that.
Here's what I'll say about that game. I did, and everybody agrees with me on this, general managered my ass off.
Really?
Sure. I did.
Move things around.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
you did.
DH'd for Momo. We recruited Matt Burke from our sales department. Ron Mitchell relieved Momo. Because Momo couldn't pitch the whole game.
He got the save.
He got the save. Exactly right.
Look, Momo was at one point the best softball player of all of us.
No question.
Does she still got it?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and competitive.
Although we don't know.
Yeah.
She just had a baby.
So I'll tell you this story. So.
Yeah.
Out in center field, there were some miscues during the game.
Yeah.
Okay. And both Dr. Clapper and Momo pulled me aside at one point and said, "You have to get Taylor out of center field. He's killing us."
Wow.
That's how competitive they were. Now, me, just being a humble manager, said to Taylor during the break, between innings, "Taylor, got to move you. I'm going to move you to catcher, and I'm going to move Clapper to center field."
Was it hard? Was it hard to tell him?
I felt bad about it.
Yeah. And welcome to the NFL.
All weekend long, I said to Juan, "God, did I hurt Taylor's feelings?"
You did what was best for the team.
I did do what was best for the team.
Awesome. Momo is competitive.
Yeah, Momo's
she
competitive.
She was moving us around in the infield.
Taylor gets a ring at the end of the day.
Taylor does get a ring. He gets a full share.
Yes, he does get a full share.
He gets a full share.
Nice.
Yeah. How about those rings now, DeMarco? Are you getting one of the new Rams rings?
Yes, I was there last night. Those rings are huge. Yeah. I mean, absolutely fantastic. They spared no expense on those rings.
We talked to that. Over $100,000 for a player's ring.
Yeah. And look, you should. This is the LA Rams. It's about flash and sizzle. And when you win a championship here in your own city, the ring should reflect that.
You know what I really, first of all, you know what I really like about the ring? I like that it represents SoFi, too, that SoFi is accounted for.
Yeah,
because that was a huge part of last
season.
Forget
accounted for. It's literally inside
the ring.
Awesome.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing I love, and
even the case was cool. When you open it, the ring spins. I'm just like, wow, unbelievable.
I also love that they put palm trees on the ring.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they get that they're in California. And that's very representative of the area where we live. I think it's really cool.
No doubt. Shout out to Jalen and OBJ. They get it. They were designed for these players.
Wait a minute. You said Jalen and OBJ. Did they actually design them?
They helped with the design.
They helped Jason?
Yes. It was OBJ and Jalen, and I think a few other players had input into the ring. So that's, I think even OBJ was given credit for the ring coming apart, and you can make a pendant out of it. I guess that
you
might
can
have
make
been
a pendant out of that.
Yeah,
ring?
Like it comes apart. You can make a pendant out of the top. So it's really cool, really special ring. Yeah, it will change the game for rings from now on.
Okay, I was thinking about this when I saw this ring because it's incredible.
Yeah,
the Rams are a really good team. There is no reason that they could not get back to the Super Bowl, if not next season. Certainly over the next couple of years.
I got a few reasons.
Like, well,
Brady, Rodgers.
Sure, no, it's difficult. Yeah. I'm just saying in terms of who they are and what they have at their disposal, there's no reason they could not get back to the Super Bowl over the next couple of years, maybe win again. Is the ring too good? Like, how do you top that ring this quickly without time to
I don't think you account for but what if we win it again and this ring's so nice that we can't come
because
up with
our
ring
if I heard
by the way is, a if, quality if, problem to have if we need to make a cooler ring
if we went back to back
first world as it gets
in 99-2000 the word on the street was we were going to get two-fingered rings we were going to get the two-fingered rings. So had we gone three in a row, three-fingered rings.
Nobody's ever gone two fingers, I don't think.
No, I don't think there's been a two-fingered ring yet, but that was what we were going to do had we won. Not yet.
I work with idiots.
Oh, my God. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Work with just juveniles.
Come on.
We can hear them.
No, those rings are awesome.
Yeah, they
are
really cool.
And McVay's speech was inspiring. That little guy. Is,
what's the deal with OBJ now? Are we going to get him back or not get him back?
It's business. He's got to get healthy, number one. They want him back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, at what price? You got to factor that in. You know what? Had he not gotten hurt in the Super Bowl, your offseason is completely different because you're paying.
You probably, and you're not bringing in Allen Robinson.
And it may have cost you Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Because
right.
you have to, if he's MVP of that game, you have to pay him.
Right.
And then what do you have left over?
I don't care if he's MVP or not. You're not sacrificing Aaron Donald for Odell Beckham Jr. You can't.
How do you not? If he's your MVP, if OBJ is your MVP, becomes the face of your franchise.
He wouldn't be the face of your franchise because you still have Aaron Donald.
Yeah, you still have to pay him.
But he'd only been here for half a season. It's not like he's Aaron Donald who's spent his whole career here.
So
Aaron Donald is one of the maybe the best at his position.
But imagine this show. Imagine this station. If OBJ is your MVP of the Super Bowl, you won here and you don't pay him. You guys would have shows for months.
Well, right, but okay. But if you framed it as...
Sounds good.
right.
Shows for months.
But your whole offseason is different. Yeah, yeah.
Right, but if you pose this as a choice, you know, like a financial choice between Aaron Donald and Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't think that would
happen.
Nobody's
taking Odell
Beckham. DeMarco, they could do both. If they signed Allen Robinson to big money, they could have just slid OBJ into that slot and still paid Aaron Donald.
I think what OBJ would have commanded is over the top of that.
More than Allen Robinson. That's what,
if he's MVP, and this guy, he'd be on the Wheaties box by now. He'd be the guy if he was MVP of that game. That's what I mean. And how are you not going to sign him in the offseason? So if he stays healthy, your entire offseason is different.
If you have these financial decisions, you got to choose right. Because look at like what the Lakers did last season. They put a self-imposed financial decision between THT and Alex Caruso on themselves.
And they made the wrong choice.
Way wrong
choice.
What
was the Jacksonville receiver that started this whole run on receivers? The one from Arizona that $75 million?
Oh.
So that's the number. That's the arena you're going to be in. So that's what I mean. If he stays healthy, collects the MVP and a Lombardi, you're paying that guy money. And that's going to cost you guys.
But to Andy's point, too, yeah, it does come down to making the right choices. And you wonder, I mean, there's always a sort of a sliding doors conversation. This came up at the Drew League when LeBron was playing, and there were pictures of him with DeMar DeRozan, and Magic Johnson had confirmed that, yeah, it came down to sort of Westbrook or DeMar DeRozan, and LeBron chose Westbrook, and he could have chosen DeRozan, and you wonder what the season would have looked like if the Lakers had DeMar DeRozan instead of Russell Westbrook.
That fits better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk.
That's
right.
That's
the
what
Arizona
I mean.
Receiver,
that's
yeah.
what started this whole run on receivers and big money. And, of course, if he's holding MVP and Lombardi, he's going to command big, big money, which will cost you guys. That's just the way the NFL is. You're going to pay Matt Stafford.
Yes.
You may not have enough money to pay Aaron Donald the tip he deserves, which means he may stay retired.
I just don't think that you sacrifice Aaron Donald. You find somebody else.
Did you think Aaron Donald was really going to retire?
Well, that means you're going to have to cut a lot of guys and you turn into Seattle.
Well, Aaron Donald,
overnight, you
Aaron
go back.
Donald accounts for like five guys himself.
Oh, no doubt. You'll start to hemorrhage guys, and you don't have that much money to spread around. What were you saying? I'm sorry. I missed that.
Do you really think Aaron Donald was going to retire?
I thought it was leverage.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I never really got the sense that he was actually going to retire.
You watch the games, man.
Yes.
All season, his whole career, he's been fantastic. But the last 4 weeks, there's nobody better. He won that game versus San Francisco. He won the Super Bowl.
He won the
for
Super
you.
Bowl.
That's
he
what I mean.
He took down Joe Burrow.
I am so happy for Cup winning the ESPYs. Everything he's gotten, he's deserved, but you don't get there. You're not there without Aaron, and you don't win it without Aaron.
The one reason I thought that Donald, it might not be leverage, is just because when you think about the entirety of his career, there's nothing left for him to accomplish or prove. He has done everything.
True. Yeah.
And that sport is, I mean, you know this, you played his position, DeMarco. That sport is brutal on your body. And if you're thinking about your future, like your actual future after football, and you know you're financially secure, and you know there really isn't anything else for you to do in the sport, you might say, I'm going to get out while I'm still young and walking okay.
Well, there's a lot of leverage considering what happened with Bobby Brown. The backup defensive tackle.
Right.
Like he's not going to be. Remove Aaron from this lineup now, from this defense. It doesn't look quite as threatening, right?
It doesn't look threatening at all.
So that's what scares you. There's no plan beyond Aaron, so you have to bring him back to the fold. So it's all leverage. I would say I don't think Aaron exercises leverage. I think his representative did.
Yeah.
And they're smart.
It was well played.
Absolutely.
It's a template for future potential free agents to be able to use to leverage contracts.
And you've got to be great to
do
it. Yeah.
He's not the last guy that's going to say, I might just retire.
Right,
I mean, that's a good negotiating play.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Just for some guys, though, it's more believable than others.
Yeah.
He
no doubt.
Struck me as believable.
Yeah. Well, he could have walked away.
I think there's numbers he's chasing. Like, there's actual, like, all-time numbers he's chasing.
Yeah.
Warren Sapp said it best. There's five interior guys that were first ballot Hall of Famers. He'll be number six.
Yeah.
So I think there's numbers there that he's going to actually chase down.
So, I'm going to wrap this up. What are you guys going to do?
We're going to talk.
Yeah,
a lot.
Just talk a lot?
No, we're going to talk. I got to tell you about the rings. I'm so mad. I love everybody, right?
Yeah,
I love you guys. I love Mike Florio.
Yeah.
But can't you wait at least 24 hours to start throwing things at the ring? Let the guys enjoy the fact that they're champions before you start bringing up how many Lombardis are in the ring.
Yeah, right.
I was there. It didn't even cross my mind.
Like, there was only one.
Right. Like, how long were you sitting on that? Like,
yeah.
You couldn't wait to put that out. That just drove me crazy.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that stuff
too. All right. All that stuff's coming up. There's a lot of screwing around, and all the stuff you've come to expect from Shedano and Cappy today will be coming from Andy and DeMarco. I'm out Monday, Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I didn't know if it was overstepping, like if we were stepping on George and and Cappy's thing. You know, you got to be respectful, like, you know, DeMarco and I, Andy Kamenetsky, DeMarco Farr, in for the guys. You want to keep the spirit of the show alive, but you want to make sure you're not overstepping any boundaries.
Hey.
Meantime, DeMarco's doing a one-man lap dance over there.
Hey. That chair is getting it.
He really is.
Come on.
That chair, DeMarco, better leave you.
I
not
love this
singles.
Chair. I love
20s.
This chair. Yeah. I used to think the Who would make you deaf. Did you guys hear that as kids?
Well, Pete Townsend, their guitarist, I believe does have, what's it called, tendonitis? It's when you have that continual ringing in your ear.
Yeah. Not tendonitis, something like that.
I think it's called
tendonitis. Yeah.
Something with a T.
Yeah, and
thank you.
I am pretty sure, because there's a lot of rock stars that suffer from that.
Van Halen died deaf almost, right? A lot of guys are going through it.
Yeah, Bob Mould, he was the guitarist and singer to Husker Du.
Yeah.
And a band, Sugar. I read an article where he talked about how he sleeps with his TV basically on full blast.
Wow.
Because it drowns out the ringing in his ears.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I believe it because when I was in college, I saw his band Sugar at the Palladium, and my friend and I, that we went to see the show, it was standing room, you know, it was like standing room in the Palladium.
Yeah.
So we worked our way to the front because we wanted to be like right at the front. We ended up next
right
to
by the speakers.
We ended up next to the speakers.
It was
so loud. It was unpleasant. We moved back.
Yeah, I got you. The first time, my first concert was Run DMC, and they told me my ears were going to ring, and they did. I couldn't believe it. Van Halen, same thing. Brian Johnson from AC/DC left the band because he can't hear. Makes sense. You know, you're a rock musician. It's loud.
Yeah.
But that's just crazy. Wow.
Well, you have the music.
But I thought the Who, my mother told me, I guess at some concert way back in the day, this is like the 70s, late 70s, there was a concert that was so loud that the Who put on that it made people go deaf. So I thought as a kid that the Who made people go deaf. So whenever you like played a song, I would run. I'm serious. That's what she told me.
Oh my God, they're playing Who Are You?
They're playing the Who. They're trying to make us deaf. Get out of here.
Teenage Wasteland. I'm going to turn deaf.
No doubt. It wasn't until I saw Tommy, the movie Tommy, I'm not going to go deaf? Okay. Oh, I can actually listen to the music. Oh, okay.
I'm going to Google this right now. Did a Who concert make people?
It must have been news. And I was a kid. Yeah. So like late 70s.
I remember this. There was in Cincinnati a really tragic concert that the Who had in the late 70s that people ended up rushing the doors. People got trampled, people died.
Oh, okay.
That's the tragedy that I remember specifically with the Who. I don't know if them actually causing deafness is a real thing or an urban legend.
Could have been an urban legend. It's something I tell my kids now. We all tell our kids stuff that's not true. You know what I mean? So I'm sure my mom was no different. So,
sometimes you do it because that's what parenting involves.
Oh, absolutely. You know, my 7-year-old, we started watching Martin together.
Oh, I love Martin.
Martin's funny, right?
Yeah, it is.
She loves it. She laughs. She likes The Fresh Prince, too.
Ooh, that one's good.
But, you know, Martin gets a little racy. So when she, like, Dad, what are they talking about? Nothing. Blankets. Sheets.
Coloring.
That's yes, I like that. Coloring. Yes. So it's sometimes they put you in bad situations.
A few of my daughter's favorite movies, she's 11.
Yeah.
Are movies that I'd say 75% of it is, technically too old for, but it's fine.
What are you watching?
She loves Mean Girls, Clueless, and Legally Blonde. And for the most part, I think those movies are fine. Even if there's some stuff that's adult, it goes over her head.
Oh, I got to drop in. I can't watch Clueless at my house, though.
But
I can't watch Stacey Dash movies.
Oh, I get it.
That's a whole conversation.
Let's just say,
Dad, why do you look like that, Dad? Like, why is Dad drooling?
And then she disappointed. She grew.
To you.
Oh, no. I don't mean in the looks department.
I can forgive a lot.
Okay, then you understand what I mean.
Absolutely.
There's a lot to forgive.
Wow. Okay.
But, like, there's this scene in Mean Girls where there's a school assembly.
Stop trying to make fetch happen, Laura. Oh, my God. So fetch.
But there's a scene where it's an all-school assembly, and there's a bit of a sex ed talk in this all school assembly.
And your daughter's 11.
She's 11.
Oh, this is good.
And
they
hand out condoms
in
the assembly.
What'd you do?
I watch her reaction.
Okay.
If it just seems to glaze over her, then I don't react.
Oh, you got out. Yeah.
Well, because
you're off the hook.
Right. I don't want to make her think there's anything she needs to be asking me about, because eventually she's going to be old enough and I'll answer all those questions.
No doubt.
But I'm going to put it off as long as I can.
Oh, God. Well, the Mean Girls is off the list for me. I'm not going there.
Mean Girls has that. Clueless has a couple scenes like that, I'm just sort of waiting for her reaction.
I got you.
If she's content to not really understand it, I don't need to explain.
Would it be different if you had with a boy?
No.
No? Same thing? No, okay.
I feel like for the most part, these things come up as they need to. You know what I mean?
Because my brother pulls no punches. He watches whatever he watches around his kids. Like, one day I walked in, they're all watching
Predator.
Well, this
is your insane brother, right?
He's not insane. He's just...
He's intense.
He's intense. Told me about him. Yeah.
He's got that intense rivalry with you.
So my brother, 55, his son is 7, and his daughter is 5. So I walk in the house, and they're all watching Predator. Number one.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm like, Uncle DeMarco has a problem with this, but I really can't say anything about this.
Well, those are
his
kids.
That's what I said. Yeah. Is that bad?
No, because I feel like my sisters are like that.
Yeah.
They like would watch and like my, what is she, 15 now, my niece? They were doing like singing the Boots with the Fur song when they were like babies.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And
okay.
I'm like.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I've
what,
seen
the
my
parties,
I've
all
seen my daughter
stuff.
Sing that one when she was
yeah.
like seven.
Really? Okay. Yeah, we're going to break that down. Okay. Some stuff we can't do.
Well, I mean, in her mind, it's just a song about a girl in an outfit dancing.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I had an older sister. I was watching Eddie Murphy Raw when I was like 8.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's generational, I guess.
But would you do that with your kid now?
Oh, no, I would not.
See, that's the difference. Right. We could. We can get away with that back then.
I always tell this story because my parents, you know, they didn't like, they're immigrants. So like, they didn't really like understand a lot of the language and in the movies. I remember when Dennis the Menace came out, we, you know, used to rent the movies back in the day. Used to go to the stores or whatever. So my sister's like, oh, let's rent it. So when she called
Wasn't
to rent.
Walter Matthau?
Which one?
Dennis the Menace.
Yes, Walter Matthau.
Well, yeah, it was. Okay, go ahead.
So my sister called to rent the movie. They're like, yeah, we have it. So she comes back with the movie, but she comes back with Don't Be a Menace in South Central. And we're like watching this movie, and there's a part where like the homegirl's sucking the toes. And then my mom walks in. She goes, what the fuck? What are you guys watching? We're like, it's Dennis the Menace. That is not Dennis the Menace. I know that. I was like, ooh.
No, that is not Dennis the Menace.
No. I learned a lot that day.
You know, my mom took me to see The Exorcist when I was like 5 or whenever it came out. Scarred me for life. Yeah, I would never do that now. Never.
My wife grew up in a really strict religious household.
Yeah.
Like Southern Baptist in like Texas, you know, like that environment. And, you know, her mom, when she was growing up, didn't allow MTV. She didn't allow R-rated movies. My wife, when she was a teenager, had to sneak all that stuff. But for some reason, she took my wife when she was, I don't know, maybe 10 years old to the Killing Fields.
Oh.
Wow.
For some reason, she thought that movie wouldn't traumatize her.
That'll learn you.
Yeah.
That'll learn you.
No, and she was totally okay with it afterwards, too. Like, it wasn't even like, oh, I made a mistake. It was like, I'm okay.
It's a good film. Yeah, it's a good movie.
A good movie. Wow. I don't think it's right for a, it's a little intense for like a 10-year-old.
You raise your kids. I'll raise mine. There you go.
All right. You got yourself a ring, DeMarco.
Yeah, two. Well, I got one, and the second one is coming. The LA Rams one is coming. And look, I'm so appreciative for them. And I'm so happy for the guys. Seeing the players and coaches get their rings. Seeing Von Miller in the building. Johnny Hecker came back. Some of the coaches that are, you know, coaching for different teams all came back to get their rings. So for one last time, I told you this about our Super Bowl. When you ask me what it feels like to win a Super Bowl, it's the best, worst feeling in the world. It is. It's the best feeling because you're on top of the world. There are no other football games. You just won the biggest game there is. The sad part about it is this is the last time this team will be together. It's the NFL. Right. It's going to turn over by 25% no matter what. So seeing all those guys come back together, they opened the boxes all at the same time. It was great. I was like, wow. And then that ring was so big. Good Lord.
That ring. We're going to get into the size of this ring, DeMarco.
Good to be the king.
Yeah. No, it's great to be the king, but there are some things about
it. Good to be the king in L.A.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Like, did you actually have that thought in 99 when you guys won? Like, were you cognizant enough to recognize, like, it's not going to be the same next season?
Right then and there when the ticker tape is falling. I'm sure you've seen it on America's Game. I mean, when you're in tears, you're happy because you won, and you're also sad because this group won't be together next year. Guys move on. Guys retire. Guys get contracts on different football teams. Coaches leave. So you did it. You accomplished your mission. But this is it. This is the last time we're ever going to compete together as teammates.
Wow.
It's the best, worst feeling ever. I don't think it's any sport is like that. Baseball, for the most part, you bring the same guys back. Basketball, for the most part, you bring the same guys back. Football, guaranteed to change over by 25%.
Well, I mean, the Lakers keep churning over brand new teams, but they're also not winning anything
right
at the moment.
But championship teams, like the Warriors.
Well, actually, the Lakers were a really specific, and you know, they've taken a lot of grief and a lot of crap over the idea that they really turned over that championship team pretty quickly. But the first immediate season, I actually understand where they came from, because it was a relatively older team and it was such a short time in between the bubble and the new season starting.
Yeah.
I don't think they could have just run that team back. Like, I don't think that was realistic and practical. But since then, they've turned that thing over so much, it is unrecognizable. Basically, right now, it's LeBron, AD, THT. Those
wow.
are the only guys from that championship team in 2019-2020.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Who told me that they've changed strength coaches three times?
It's believable.
There's zero continuity in that building if that's what's going on.
There is.
Yeah, it's hard to build a champion that way.
Not a lot of continuity.
Yeah.
And we'll get into this over the course of the next 2.5 hours. It does not seem like there's going to be a lot of continuity coming up.
But the deal at Sony Studios last night, the speech by McVay.
Save it. We're
unbelievable.
Up against
I'm sorry.
It.
Go
up
ahead.
Against it. But.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this, and I also want to talk a little bit about the experience of getting your ring as a player versus the ring that you're about to get as a different part of the team.
Ah.
And like the idea of, do you compare them? Does your old ring have a little bit of
envy? I'm going to show you a picture during the break.
Talk about that coming up next. Sedano and Cap, 710 ESPN. LL Cool J, I Need Love, 1987, released this day. Wow. Man, LL has had a long career.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable
career. We were talking about the most successful rappers of all time, and like you almost forget how successful he's been.
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation if you start to, like when you start to factor in influence beyond rap, even though the influence inside rap obviously matters. But when you think about like LL or Ice Cube.
Or Ice-T. Yeah.
Like these guys who've had these really wide-ranging careers. Like Dre, like his effect on music overall. Or
right.
Like the way we consume music through beats.
Yeah.
Or Jay-Z, just the empire of blank.
No doubt.
You know, Fitty's a businessman.
Big time.
Like going back to Ice-T, like he's not even known as a rapper anymore.
He's an actor.
Yeah, he's a Law and Order dude.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Okay, what... I've thought about this too. Like, what do you think is, all you guys, the craziest...
And Laura.
Yeah, and Laura.
Gracias. Thank you very much.
My apologies.
It's okay. I wasn't mad. DeMarco just, you know...
What do you all think is the... You can't believe this happened transition. Ice Cube going from NWA, Bleep the Police, to family.
Are we
friendly.
There yet?
Are we there yet?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Ice-T going from cop killer to playing a cop for years on Law & Order SUV.
Yeah. Actually played a pimp before he became a cop on the show. Yeah.
Like
Snoop at one point. Involved in a murder rap.
Yeah.
Now becoming like one of the most ubiquitous pitchmen everywhere.
Hangs out with Martha Stewart.
Does a show with Martha Stewart.
Crazy.
Am I forgetting anybody else?
No, I think you're right on point. For me, it's the guy from Harold and Kumar. Like, he went from pothead to...
Oh, like the press secretary. Oh,
yeah. To the White House. Yeah, I never saw that. Like, I thought you were, White Castle and pothead
guy. What about
Mike
Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg?
Ooh, yeah. Marky Mark.
Wait, where are we from Marky Mark?
Mark to like now.
Or even, look, man, I mean, it's a darker time in his life, but Mark Wahlberg, early on as a teenager, he was involved in a crime assault.
Yeah.
He went through a lot of stuff before becoming Marky Mark, Calvin Klein guy, to Marky Mark the actor, to now Marky Mark total mogul.
Can't say I don't like him. Because I've watched a lot of his movies.
I like him as an actor.
But I am on the fence with him a lot.
Why is that?
Because of that. Whole Marky Mark and the whole thing. But, I like his movies. I do. I just saw that last Lone Survivor.
Right.
That fantastic movie.
I think he's a good actor. I do like Mark Wahlberg as an actor. But, like, if you look at that beginning,
Never thought. Yeah,
To where he is
Okay,
now.
I got another one.
Okay.
Completely different. Way though, Herschel Walker. What?
Yeah. That's it. Exactly. What?
What? Yeah. I never saw this coming. No. Wow, unbelievable.
No. Ooh,
what?
right.
Ooh,
never in a million years did I ever think we'd be here.
All right,
with Herschel Walker.
Hit us up on Twitter at CamBrothers or at DMarcoFar1.
Yes,
with some of these you cannot believe career evolutions, like we were talking about with Snoop. Going from, at one point, being in the middle of a murder investigation to ubiquitous pitchman, Ice Cube and Ice-T from, public enemy number one to where they are right now, Herschel Walker, whatever. Hit us up with some of these. But in the meantime, DeMarco, you got a ring coming.
Big time. Yeah, can't wait. We were, well, just a few of us, we're trying to count up. There aren't that many people that actually have both rings that were out there. Like, I was on the field for both wins. So, like, how many people actually have that experience? I don't know. So, I was pleasantly surprised, was not expecting a ring. I was happy when they said they were going to give me one. So, I'm still trying to gather my thoughts about the whole thing because it's weird for me. It really is. It's a strange situation for me.
Well, I mean, I hadn't thought about that before, but that is really unique because there are guys, obviously, who made a transition from playing, maybe even won a Super Bowl, and then went on to become part of a broadcast team. But the likelihood of it being with the same team that, in your case, it's the only team you ever played for, correct?
Right.
Only team you ever played for. You went to the broadcast team and got a ring.
Yeah, I think this is year 14 coming up. I can't believe that. So I really enjoy this era. The Sean McVay era is great football because we were talking about the third year of Steve Spagnuolo, which is the opposite, the worst football you can possibly imagine. Just being on the field for both, it's been special. So when I finally get the second piece, and I have a picture of Tutu Atwell's ring and my ring next to each other. So when I finally get the one that has my name on it, and I can put them together, that's going to be odd. That's going to be weird to see. But like I said, I'm so happy. I was so happy for the guys. Seeing Aaron Donald get his ring. Seeing all these coaches go berserk with their rings. Seeing the young guys absolutely like lose their minds over the rings. Special. Then I like the guys that aren't really with the hoopla. They get their ring and walked out the door. Like, I'm done. Like, it's about the ring. I love the ring. I'm probably never going to wear this ring. I'm just going back to work because camp opens in 2 days. I thought that was cool, too.
All right, shout out to Laura, who brought up a one that should have immediately popped to all of our minds. Michael Thompson won rings with the Lakers.
This is true.
Rings as part of the broadcast team with the Lakers.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah, you're right.
But it's pretty rare.
But the Lakers didn't move.
No.
Well, you got to hate, though, man. Give it to MT.
That is true.
Right.
Okay, some of these details for this new ring are insane. Like, you open up the ring. There's a removable top of the ring.
Yeah.
It has a view of SoFi, including a piece of the Super Bowl game ball.
Dope.
20 carats of white diamonds set on yellow and white gold. There's also, too, they honored January 12th, three dates in franchise history with 1.12 carats of diamonds. In 2016, on January 12th, the Rams approved to go back to L.A. 2017, they hire McVay. January 12th, 2019, they beat the Cowboys for the first playoff victory after returning to L.A.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy.
I would be scared to take this ring anywhere. Like, there's so much going on in there. I wouldn't want to damage it.
Okay.
I wouldn't want anybody to see me in it, maybe get ideas.
Me and you. Just me and you talking for a minute. When they unveiled those rings, I started looking over my shoulder. I'm like, we're about to be hit. You know what I mean? Wow, there's a lot
Watch
of money on the tables right now. What?
Watch out.
See, look.
I was like, where's your bling at, bruh?
You know, crime is on the rise. There's rings out here. You know, they've been doing smash and grabs. You know, this would be the worst place to try to rob a professional football team. You know what I mean? But, wow.
Well, is what you have. I hate to be this cynical.
Yeah.
But I imagine when you get a ring like that, you start thinking about your circle. And you're like, do I trust everybody in my circle?
Well, you know, it's like a pet or a loved one. Really, your ring. You have to protect it. You have to, like, when you move, you have to make sure you carry it with you. If you're traveling, you got to make sure you wear it or put it in your pocket. It's a thing. And my ring was huge when I got it. This ring dwarfs mine. So I don't know how you travel with this thing is beyond me. Like, it's unbelievable.
Your old ring, let's be honest, it has size envy.
Well,
size envy going on.
Okay, when I got mine,
complex, if you know what I mean.
I saw one of the was it the 82 Raiders?
Mm-hmm.
The 82 Raiders. I saw one of their rings, and I'm like, God, that's small.
It's like a wedding ring.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, that's tiny.
Raiders,
oh, and I felt the same way when I saw these. Like, good God, man, let me put this in my pocket.
Well, that was something I was thinking about too, because I mean, this ring that the Rams just got, it is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it is gorgeous. But beyond, it's not just like big and ostentatious, like the details and the creativity.
It's art.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's impressive. Like,
yeah.
You don't look at this thing and go, that is just, that's gaudy,
no,
man.
The bar has been set.
Right.
Yeah, so whoever wins it next could be the Rams, could be anybody. I mean, that's what you're going to have to top.
But what's crazy, though, is in the not very distant future, I can promise people are going to look at that ring and not be impressed. Because the way ring culture
there's
has
no
gone
way.
In sport. Yes.
There's no.
It will happen.
Okay, 20 or 30 years.
Right.
Because that is a benchmark. That is a bar setter. Yeah. I mean, but
every bar that gets set, it gets met and matched and then passed. And then at some point, I mean, it's crazy to think about because, again, these rings are incredible.
Do the NBA, do they get the big fat rings?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
baseball, I know they get these really gaudy rings.
Yeah, it's in all sports.
Baseball would be next, right? The yeah. World Series would be the next championship up for grabs.
Yeah.
So that would be the next sports. The next sport and the next team that would have to top what the Rams just did.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen.
Well, you need to change the mold then.
It's absolutely. Yeah,
you do. Right. Whoever's making rings, you need to change the mold
now. I'm telling you. I mean, you know, Jason's the guy for all this. I mean, he's the go-to guy in this particular niche of jewelry. And he's awesome. But it's crazy to think there will be a point sometime down the line where people look at championship rings, they're going to look at this Rams ring, which is just spectacular.
Yeah.
They're going to go, eh.
We won't be here for it. We'll be dust. Yeah.
Do you mean you and me or the earth?
Me and you. It will be dust. It'll be a while before you top that. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. By the way, too, Laura, thank you very much for letting me know about the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust.
Of course.
I was not aware of this being on Twitter. I was also not aware that I was allowed in it.
Yes, he has joined. DeMarco, I will teach you how to do it.
So,
I know how to do it. I just haven't done it.
Why?
I have to figure out. The circle of trust, like, what are we getting into?
Oh, a lot
because
of
the
fun
last
and
time
frivolity.
I did that, last time I did that, I didn't know the show was at war with other shows.
No, we're not at war with nobody. We just like people here, just you know, comment on whatever you guys are commenting. Like Siobhan said, 11 years old is the good time to have the sex talk.
They do be beefing with other shows though.
No, we don't.
They do. See?
No, we don't. They beef with us. There is a difference.
Well, you and I, though,
DeMarco, to tango.
No.
We're fine because we move show to show to show. We can.
That's what I'm saying. Me too. Right. I'm fine too. Whatever.
Thank you.
Why y'all gonna throw it on me now?
I'm just saying. Okay.
We're mercenaries for hire.
I'll jump in as long as I'm not jumping into any shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Yeah, you almost said something else, but you caught yourself. Nah. The circle of trust, people are good. Everyone's cool,
okay.
Calm and collected. Right. They just like to
Some of them are vicious, though.
No, they not.
Well, I the
See
circle
what's
of trust
true.
People, feel free to hit us up on Twitter,
okay.
At CanBrothers, at DMarcoFar1. Whatever you think of the show going on, that's fine. I just thank you all for allowing me in the circle. I did not know that I didn't know anybody from outside the show was allowed.
You're in.
It's very exciting.
DeMarco, join in.
Once I join, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
All right, coming up, there's going to be some stuff about Kyrie Irving and the Lakers and trades that aren't happening with the Pacers and just the Lakers seem like they may be stuck with Russell Westbrook. We're going to have a conversation about mangoes, as Laura hinted in the Circle of Trust coming up as well. A lot more going on. Andy Kamenetsky, DeMarco Farr, Sedano and Cap 710 ESPN. 1989. Number one on the charts, Prince's soundtrack to the Tim Burton Batman.
Interesting.
The Batman that started the whole Dark Knight thing we're on right now.
Honesty Time, did anybody like the album?
Oh, I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
you loved it too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a Prince fanatic.
Yeah, love Prince. Don't get me wrong. Love Prince.
I think it's a really good album.
I need to give it a second listen then.
I think it's The Ringer. They put out it was right around the time when the latest Batman with Robert Pattinson came out.
Yeah.
They did like a full Batman week on the site, and somebody did an oral history of Prince's Batman soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Wow.
It's really interesting how they got Prince involved
with this. I have to give it another listen.
Like
the
process of working with a guy like Prince who, you know, did it his way, and, you know, you had to work sort of on Prince's calendar and schedule and his process, all of that,
no doubt.
But he did actually, you can find this on YouTube, he did SNL around the time of this movie to help promote it, and I'm pretty sure he did either Bat Dance or Party Man. But he also
Party Man is that's the song.
He also did a performance of the song Electric Chair.
Yeah.
Which is on the soundtrack. He crushes this thing. Like, go to YouTube, you can find it.
I need to see this. Okay.
It's spectacular.
I need to see this. I thought I've seen everything Prince, but I guess I missed this one.
Actually, we'll go down this rabbit hole later. I recently stumbled upon a Prince discovery that was phenomenal.
What?
I gotta find it on YouTube to get it exact.
Is he wearing bikini underwear and a trench coat?
I don't believe it was that era, but his outfit was interesting.
No doubt.
That was the bikini
and high
heel
shoes.
Yeah. That was, I believe, the year.
That was like 91, 92, right?
No, it was Power like Generation. 80 or
81. No, way back before.
Okay, this is wild. Okay.
Controversy days.
Controversy.
Yeah.
It was either that tour or Dirty Mind. He opened for the Stones. The Stones wanted him.
Oh, I remember this.
The audience was hostile towards him.
Didn't know how to handle it. Yeah, didn't know how to handle it. Yeah.
In the Circle of Trust, and again, thank you guys for inviting me, Andy Kamenetsky, also DeMarco Farr, into the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust.
I accept.
You got to join, DeMarco. That's how we...
I'm accepting.
Okay.
Got some good...
The invitation. I will join. Okay.
Got some good suggestions for the career transformations you would not have seen coming.
Oh, yeah. What do you got?
One of a kind at AC_Fresh5. Got to give props to Master P. Master P ended up.
That's right, Master
P. Developing a massive
car.
But wait, what did he transition into?
He's done a little bit of acting. But,
okay.
I mean, his record label and just sort of
record
his
label.
Reach, I think he's got.
He had a clothing label for a little bit.
That's not
label.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's got a studio. He may have like.
Yeah.
He's been involved with making movies. Kevin Barbarino, Robert Downey Jr. The path that Downey was on with drugs and jail to becoming Iron Man.
So I thought about that one, but my thing was more of like if they were something before.
Yeah.
He was always like kind of an actor. So to me, that wasn't.
That's in the same vein.
Yeah, it's in the same
vein. He just cleaned himself up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But to go not that far from his problems to the face of what launched Marvel.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he had to be heavily insured.
Sorry.
Live radio, people. Live radio.
He had to do, like, they had to heavily insure Downey. Like, the
studio. Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. Downey. Yeah, I didn't think he would live past 30, if that's fair. Yeah.
And
I thought Michael Madsen would be bigger.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay. Michael Madsen must look at Tom Sizemore and be like, damn it, that should have been my career.
Yeah.
Like, because there was a period where Sizemore, you know, was deep into drug problems.
He was supposed to take the John Travolta role in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And he turned it down for Wyatt Earp.
Right.
Wow.
But Sizemore, I always thought Sizemore and Madsen were pretty similar.
Yeah.
And Madsen must have been like, how does this guy keep getting all these roles?
If they're in the same movie, I'm there. I like
Casper
both those
Villa,
guys. Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay,
body
fair.
Bodybuilder to governor
to
of
governor.
California.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That is one people may not have seen.
That's top three.
Meghan Markle.
Never saw that coming. Actress to the Duchess.
To the Duchess.
What was she in before?
Suits.
Suits.
That show Suits on USA.
Oh. Never would have thought that. But,
thank you, Casper.
Yeah.
Inspired that one.
I mean, somebody fell in love with you and you became a princess. Does that really count? You don't really. Yeah. Did you aspire to be a princess?
Never know, but you know what? Okay. She's a duchess now. So.
That's true.
Does every woman aspire to be a princess?
Hell nah. I want to be a queen.
There you go.
Wow.
All right. The Lakers.
Yeah.
Marco, you may have heard they've been trying to move Russell Westbrook. And you know, they've been ongoing, never-ending talks with the Nets, but those have hit a snag because by multiple reports until Brooklyn has clarity on what's going on with Kevin Durant.
I read that.
Kyrie.
I think I read that. You said, what does clarity on Kevin Durant mean?
Basically, either is there any way we can bring him back? Like, is there, you know, could he possibly reconcile this or just we're not getting a good enough deal?
Sure, they can bring him back. Just don't trade him.
Right. But, you know, what
you can't trade yourself.
Right. What the atmosphere will be like, you know, is how smoothable is this situation? All of that stuff.
Can you make him happy in Brooklyn?
Happy enough. You know, happy enough to start this thing. And then hopefully you start winning and winning papers over everything.
Why does he want out? Because of Kyrie?
You know what's funny? Brian Windhorst was just on one of the ESPN shows. I don't remember which one. But he actually said that Brooklyn isn't even quite sure why he wants
it. Yeah, when it came up, I wasn't sure why Kevin Durant said, I want out of Brooklyn. It's not like they're bad.
Well, it's also not like they didn't bend over backwards to do everything he ever wanted.
So so where is he trying to get to? That's my question. Or what about Brooklyn that he knows that we don't?
Well, I mean, it's been a bit dysfunctional over there. You know, there is the question of whether or not he may be buddies with Kyrie, but may have come to realize professionally, I don't know if I still want to hitch my wagon to this
guy. He's trying to get away from Kyrie.
Maybe.
Okay.
Although you could get him traded. If you are willing to just say, trade him, problem solved. They will move Kyrie if they feel like they have KD's blessing, I would assume. But in the meantime, you know, there have been calls to other teams, most notably the Pacers. And Dave McMenamin today, I believe, let us know the latest on this situation, and Laker fans are not going to like what they hear.
We've heard Darvin Ham say it. We've heard Rob Pelinka say it. This team is still lacking shooting to be a top-tier contender in the Western Conference. The problem is right now they have 13 roster spots filled. There's two spots open. But all the shooters on the market when it comes to free agency, they're not on a team for a reason. Because more likely than not, they do one thing really well, like spread the floor, but they don't necessarily defend well enough to get minutes. And so they'd have to look to the trade market. And the guys we just saw on video there, Eric Gordon of the Rockets and Buddy Hield of the Pacers, I've reported for weeks now the Lakers have interest in trying to find a trade package for both of them. I'm of the opinion, though, they will not pull the trigger on a deal like that until they know absolutely for sure that Kyrie Irving cannot happen and will not happen.
In other words, Laker fans, strap in. You may be sitting here for a while, frustrated, and in all likelihood, you got to start thinking about the idea that Russell Westbrook's going to be on this team next year. I mean, this is something that my brother Brian and I co-host in the Locked On Lakers podcast 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Network. We've been letting our listeners know, I mean, even before the offseason began, much less where we are now, Russell Westbrook may be on this team next season. I know that it seems like it definitely doesn't work on the court. It seems like it doesn't work in the locker room. LeBron seems outwardly looking to have Westbrook somewhere else. There's a real chance he's going to be on this team next year.
Is there a way to win with him? Is there a way to win with Westbrook being a starter?
That is actually one of the questions that Darvin Ham is dealing with right now.
I'm asked, is there a way with the roster, the way it's currently constructed?
I think it is possible. I don't think.
Why are you finger wagging me?
Hell nah.
Oh, you're saying no. I thought you meant we're out of time. Oh,
no.
There is no way.
Actually, we are out of time.
Oh, give me the Mutombo wave over there.
Okay.
Is there a way? I'm serious. As a basketball person, is there a way, since I'm stuck with the guy, it's like having a pot roast, you know, I'm stuck with it. I got to make something out of it. How in the world can I make this work?
Okay. That is something we will talk about, DeMarco, coming up at some point in the next hour. But coming up next, what you need to know, correct? That is the initials. That's what it stands for. What you need to know. That is coming up next. Andy Kamenetsky, DeMarco Farr, 710 ESPN.